This is Debbie.
This is Commissioner Lesko. Do we have anyone else on the line?
I think we're all here.
We're all here? Okay, great.
Yep.
Hi, this is Erin McGavin, Public Guardian from the Office of Public Guardianship. Am I on the wrong line, or am I? Should I exit out for right now? Or is it?
No, this is the public meeting.
Oh, perfect. Okay, thank you. I was like, oh, did I? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. So we have returned. The meeting of the Office of Public Guardianship Commission has returned from executive session, where we received legal advice on the difference between a performance issue and a complaint against the executive director. And we've requested for the guidance on a policy for performance issues as well. So we'll now return to the public portion of the meeting, where we are going to discuss the policy that was provided to us by AGIEC on the process for complaints against the executive director. So commissioners, do you have any comments on the complaint process?
I like how they did it, was just wondering if it would feel a little bit more complete. And I don't know if this would require another step or if it's even necessary, if it can be assumed that a summary documentation of any investigation should be included in the director's personnel file, and that the plan of action should include appropriate time frames for response, action, follow-up review.
AGN, do you have any guidance on that?
It's up to the commissioners how you want your policy to look. If you do decide that you want to include a time frame for a response, a typical time frame is somewhere around 30 days to respond. And then investigations would likely already be a part of the file, because that's automatically in the custody of the commission chair. But if you want that included as a written part of the policy, I'm happy to make that change.
I think I didn't use quite the right terminology there. The response was that was tied up into any kind of plan should include a follow-up review within whatever the time frames are for corrective action. And maybe that's assumed when a plan is written. I don't know.
I would say probably longer than 30 days would be appropriate in that case. But again, that's up to the commission to decide how you all want to handle, you know, following up on a possible complaint issue.
Well, I don't think I would want the policy to specify a time frame, because I think it would be relevant to the complaint. I mean, it would be relative what that response would be, whether it's a response that requires action over time, or whether it would require some sort of immediate response or action on the part of the director that would simply be affirmed in a follow-up review.
What if I added a step 6 to the complaint handling that says, The commission will follow up on any plan necessary to resolve the complaint at the next performance review or sooner as necessary based on the circumstances.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Do any other commissioners have any feedback about that point or a different point?
Debbie, can you repeat the step six?
I can't. Is that America?
Yes, just for the minute.
Yeah, I'm going to just send out an edited copy of it so you can get it off of there if you want to, if that's easier.
Yes, thank you.
Commissioner Shiat and Zinn, that sounds like a reasonable plan to you?
Yeah, that does sound like a reasonable plan, and I have no other comments that weren't under a question for attorney-client privilege.
Same.
Excuse me, this is Maureen Welch. I just had a clarification.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just curious, since you're mentioning possibly putting this in a personnel file, who is the HR contact for OPG? I'm just curious where that HR file, employee file, sits within the government, since it's an independent office. That would be a helpful clarification. Thank you.
This is Commissioner Lesko. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll look into it. All right. So, Commissioners, with that addition, are there any other comments on the policy for complaints?
I guess I'm just wondering, this is Maureen, how can you put that in there if you don't know where the personnel file sits? That was Commissioner Bennett Woods made the comment of putting it in the file, but you don't know where the file is.
We don't know an HR contact, but we're going to complete this conversation, and then please save your comments for the public section, and we'll do the best we can to answer them later on, probably after
okay,
the meeting.
Those were points of clarification. They weren't public comments.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have any other comments on the policy of complaints?
No.
Not at this time.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
If you are ready to adopt it, then I will need a motion to adopt as amended.
I so move to adopt. This is Commissioner Zinn.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, the motion passes. Adopt the policy on complaints as amended. Okay. So the next item on our agenda is public comment. Is there any comment from members of the public?
Yes, this is Maureen Welch.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Welch.
Thank you. This is Maureen Welch. Thank you so much for meeting today and for your service to Colorado. I hope you're all well. I have 4 points that I wanted to comment about today. The first one is that there's still a lot of suffering going on in the community during this pandemic. I know some of your commissioners there are doing okay. They have their private offices and their practice, and they have benefited from big PPP awards and still have employment. But I know a lot of people in the community who are actually really, really suffering lack of food access. They're ill. There's a lot of long haulers that are suffering even though they survived the pandemic. So I'd encourage us all to keep those people in our thoughts and prayers, even if we are privileged and housed and fed My second point would be the Netflix show, I Care a Lot. I don't know if you all have seen the promotions for that, but I happened to log into my Netflix account last night and noticed that the I Care a Lot show is number one in the nation, and it's out a exploitative guardian who is bilking people of their life savings. I've received dozens of calls, emails, and contacts on my social media links regarding the show, and many of them are asking about who is overseeing the Office of Public Guardianship so that the public guardians don't become like this terrible woman in the show and a lot of the bad players that we see in the private sector. I know you're state employees, but who is watching the guardians? This is a big question coming from the community. I expect that this show is going to be a big wake-up call for the public to the court-sanctioned disaster that fiduciary appointments have created, and also more of a spotlight on the OPG about whether this thing called guardianship is something that's good. So if you haven't checked out that show, you might want to do it. I've gotten so many comments on it nationally and in Colorado. Number three is the complaint process for the ED of the Office of Public Guardianship. So here we are 18 months almost after she was hired, our director, and here you are finally drafting a complaint process. Congratulations. I recall earlier on, before she was hired, that myself and other stakeholders were really asking the commission to get these policies and procedures in place prior to being hired. And every time we asked a question, we were told that the director of the office would fix that. The director would do that. The director would do that. Well, here we are. And a lot of these policies and procedures are not in place. So I would like to know where employment personnel files sit and who is overseeing the HR policies and procedures for the Office of Public Guardianship, not just the director, but also all the employees there. And this is an independent office, yes, but it's a state office, and there needs to be oversight and also that continuity so that when you current commissioners move on, that, you know, there's that continuity of oversight, which is lacking. The oversight is completely lacking in this office. Formal complaints can be made now through the commissioners, which I'm not sure what that would result in. But I also wanted to let you know that I've been doing some research, and formal complaints can also be made through the citizens advocate at the governor's office for any state employee. So that's another way. And then, of course, we have the Colorado Civil Rights Division, which is another way to complain. So there's multiple points for the members of the public to take when they're complaining about an employee, including the Office of Public Guardianship. And my last comment is something that I'd like the commission to consider for an agenda item coming up. I've been going to a lot of state meetings lately, and there's a new mandate from the state that employees and commissioners do the state-mandated training for equity, diversity, and inclusion, EDI for short. The state of Colorado has created multiple modules that can be used for training, and this is really critical when we're dealing with vulnerable populations, Black, Indigenous, people of color, LGBTQ+, all the populations that are in the public need to have the EDI training. So that would be a question for the future, and including the commissioners, so commissioners and staff at OPG. It's really important that when we serve the public that we have those tools in our tool belt. Thank you very much for the opportunity to make public comment, and thank you again for your service, and please stay safe out there.
Thank you, Ms. Welsh, and we will see if that is a training that is available to us or the OPG staff that they're supposed to be taking. Thank you. And I just want to make you aware that I do believe there is a complaint process on the OPG website. All right. Is there any other comment from members of the public?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Rob Hernandez, if I may. I just want to follow up on a couple of things, is that the EDI training is a portal that's pretty much available to anyone. And even members of the public that aren't state employees can watch the videos. One that's most interesting in there is regarding redlining and how it came about and what it meant. If you were black and you lived in Five Point and you were redlined, redlining means not only did it affect housing, you didn't even cross the street because it was dangerous for you to cross the street as a black person in America. And that still exists today, and social workers had a tendency, and they still do, is to treat being poor a crime. And we know that, and black legislators will tell you this, is that they see an oversaturation of substantiations or investigations in the black community by social services. And so that's one reason that you saw in Senate Bill 217 that state workers are now vulnerable for civil lawsuits. That governmental immunity doesn't exist, so I wanted to add that point. And Maureen's correct about the second issue, which is that movie, I Care a Lot, because it really shows how very easy, how honest people can all of a sudden become very, become bad actors very quickly, because the temptation to take assets from their wards without any repercussions from the courts or without any oversight from the courts is very, very tempting. And even once they become guardians, in Colorado, for example, at least we have a separation between conservatorship and guardianship in Colorado, as Marco has told us many, many times, which is a good thing. But the key thing is, if you have guardianship, a lot of times you'll see guardianships go after the assets because they have to spend them down. Well, what does spend them down mean? We don't know, and a lot of times that might go for attorney's fees, but it goes for guardianship fees, all those kinds of things. So, and Maureen's correct, is that when you watch that movie, legislators, it's a buzz among legislators, and they're saying, is this really going on, Rob? And they'll call me, and they'll ask me, and I'll say, yes, it's true. It does happen. It's happened in Nevada. It's happened. We have cases of showing them where that has happened. And so what that does is that encumbers the public guardianship to be even more transparent and to have such a high level of integrity to be like Caesar's wife that no one can question them. Yet you might have to struggle to get there. So I think it's just important to kind of keep those things in mind. But that movie is sort of really bringing about a lot of discussion and transparency to a lot of this. So, but more importantly, so that OPG, because your state employees, you are required to take it, state employees are required to take that equity, diversity, and integrity training. It's a requirement. It's not an option. It's not maybe we'll get around to it if we think we can. Some departments that were balking at it, the governor, Department of Personnel, has basically said this is something that you need to do, and even JBC members have to take it. And so they've done so very happily, and they understand it. But when you talk about redlining, what it talks about in that equity, diversity, and integrity training is that we see the echoes and the problems that occur with this. Having grown up in North Denver, you know, when it talks about redlining, the effects not only had to do with housing and who could afford it, but if you were Hispanic and if you were Mexican growing up in North Denver, you didn't dare leave the boundaries of your area. You just didn't because it wasn't safe. And police would saturate the areas and social service would target. So a lot of areas that we're still dealing with today, and we see even today, we see disparities in healthcare treatment in those areas where those red lines exist. So I would encourage you to watch the video, especially regarding redlining, because it's an eye-opener, because we're still feeling the effects of it today. So I just want to point that out, and that's all the comments I have for today. And I know you have a hard job, and there's a lot to do, but even more so, that makes the responsibility that you bear even more concerning, and even a greater responsibility to the community that you want to serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, former Senator Hernandez. And just to be clear, that the Office of Public Guardianship staff has completed some equity, diversity, and inclusion training. I'm unsure if it's specifically the training that you and Ms. Welsh are referring to in this meeting, but I can assure you Ms. Alvarez has repeatedly stated in these meetings and to the commissioners, her dedication and commitment to equity. And I'm certainly confident that if she will complete all necessary trainings, and we appreciate your information and recommendation for this particular training. And also, just to be clear, the Office of Public Guardianship does not handle client assets.
I'm sorry, you cut out. Does not handle what?
Does not handle client assets.
Okay.
So, is there any other comments from members of the public?
But I do want to point out, just real quickly, a point of clarification, if they have completed that EDI training through the state's porthole, then they should have a certificate. So if there should be a certificate of completion that they get that goes into their personal file that demonstrates they have completed that state training.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other comments from members of the public? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move that. This is Deb.
Is there a second?
A second. This is Jen.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for attending and for members of the public. See you all next month.
Good day.